Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. It is Tuesday. It is time for book picks every week, and we've done this since the very beginning of the show 175 years ago. Book picks from independent booksellers. We find wonderful, wonderful booksellers in our region, these incredible independent stores, and we say, what's cool? What's happening? And they come in every week and tell us and give us a list, and we are delighted that Susanna Hermans of Oblong Books in Millerton and Rhinebeck is here to tell us what's going on. And you've got a great theme. You have a great list. So I'm very excited. Good morning, Susanna.
Good morning, Joe. Good. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. It's really good to see you.
Oh, you too.
All right. So let's start. It is, of course, Pride Month. It is, of course, this Saturday, I believe, is the Stonewall anniversary.
Yes.
So a lot going on, and you have a very cool list in regards.
Yeah, I brought all queer books with me today.
Excellent.
And I'm really excited to talk about these. Full disclosure, I am not a member of the LGBTQ community, but I am an ally and I am an appreciator of awesome books. And that is what I have today.
Right there with you. I'm very excited.
And I'll also say, this is just a really small sliver of all of the great books we have at the bookstore. Please come down and visit us. We have queer books in every section of our store. No matter what you want to read, we can help you find a queer book that fits that category.
Excellent.
So I wanted to start with nonfiction for grownups. We'll get to the kids' nonfiction in a minute. It's called When Brooklyn Was Queer by Hugh Ryan. This book is an absolutely amazing story. So Hugh Ryan he lives in Brooklyn. He realized as he's, you know, making himself part of this community, Why do I not know what the history of queer people in Brooklyn is? Why is all of the New York City-based history centered in Manhattan, in the Village, in Harlem? Surely there must have been queer people living in Brooklyn. Why don't I know their story? So yeah. He goes back and he goes from like the 1850s up through the late 1960s, up basically through Stonewall, and digs in to find out what was going on in Brooklyn. And it's an amazing story. It has not been told before. It is utterly page-turning readable. It is so good. And it's just a fantastic story.
It is When Brooklyn Was Queer by Hugh Ryan. Very cool.
And then moving on to fiction, I brought three novels.
Okay.
Oh, I brought four novels. we're going to start with
what
one.
What a lovely thing to...
Oh!
Yeah, yay!
Yay!
There's another one.
Oh, we'll start right off the top with the newest book, which I know you and I both really love.
Yeah, adore.
On Earth, We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong. And I know Kira from Merit spoke about this book last week, but it's such a good book. It's worth talking about every week.
I agree.
Ocean has written a true masterpiece that's a semi-autobiographical. Written in the form of a letter from a son to a mother, and it deals with issues of sexuality, issues of racism, of being an immigrant. Ocean is a poet first, and this is his first novel, and the prose in this book is unlike anything I've ever experienced. It is so stunning. And if sales are any indication, this book's only been out a few weeks, but this is going to be the literary event of the summer.
It is. It is one of the most amazing things that I've read in a very long time, and possibly one of the best novels I've ever read. And it is because of this. What happens when a poet writes a book? But the story is phenomenal because he was born. It is semi-autobiographical. The protagonist who is writing the letter to his mother is, like Ocean, was born in, I think, 1987 or 1988. And he's writing this letter to his mother, who was born as a result of a relationship with her mother and a soldier during the Vietnam War.
Right.
And to hear those ripple effects of war are just staggering and amazing, and some things are just sentences, and you just have to bathe in them.
Yes, it's the kind of book you'll return to again and again.
It's
just
so
soak it in.
So beautiful, yeah. Ocean Vuong, yeah. And I just real quick, and I because I went on Facebook and I put this out and I said, you know, this is the greatest book I've read, and people said, oh, I have to get this, and then people come back and say, wow, I didn't expect that because it is there's. It's heavy. It's it's not. There's a lot going on in this. Mm-hmm. So just, you know.
And it's a fairly slim volume, too.
It is.
It's short, but it really.
Packs a wallop.
Oh, yeah.
Ocean Vuong. And the name of the book is On Earth, We're Briefly Gorgeous, which in and of itself is a line in the book. And that is beautiful.
It is. It's beautiful. And if you can't remember the title, just walk into a bookstore and say you want a book written by someone named Ocean. We will figure it out.
That is exactly how I remember it when I look it up. Yes.
Moving on to what was probably one of my favorite novels last year, now out in paperback, perfect to throw into your bag when you're traveling this summer, is The Great Believers by Rebecca Mackay. This book was a New York Times 10 Best Book of last year. It was a finalist for the National Book Award. It's an extraordinary story. It's the story of a group of friends, mostly gay men, and the one woman who connects them all in the 1980s and then today. So what you're seeing are obviously the rise of the AIDS crisis and who in this group of friends lives to tell the story. It also got a Carnegie Medal. This book is so good. It's so good. And it also you learn a lot. You learn a lot about the AIDS crisis and what it was like to live through it and survive.
It is it's a beautiful book, and we actually have an interview with Rebecca up on our book show website. She is amazing and a National Book Award finalist, as you mentioned. Just a gorgeous piece of work.
Yes.
All right.
And then I had to bring this book.
I love this book, too.
This is...
You did well,
I know.
Susanna. You did great.
Thank
okay.
you. It was really fun to pick these books out.
This is one of the most depressing books
this
I've ever
This is one
read.
Of the saddest books I've... This is the saddest thing I've ever read in my life. however, this for you, like for you with Ocean's book, is for me with this book. So the book is A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara. It came out a few years ago, but it's still a book I sell a couple of copies solid every week all year long at the bookstore, which is really amazing
great.
A book that's been out for a few years. It was a National Book Award finalist as well, Man Booker finalist. This was the book that almost won every award that year, and I'm still bitter about it. But okay, so this is the saddest book I've ever read, but it's also my favorite book of all time. This is the book for me. And it's the story of these four men and their friendship through their entire lives. It covers many decades. And I'm not super big into reading about groups of men. Like, that's not what I would immediately draw myself toward. But that said, this book has stuck with me over the years. I think about it often. The story of these men and their friendship and the way they take care of each other, and especially the one character, Jude, in the novel, who was really sort of the primary focus. I will never forget him, ever. And Hanya's writing is spectacular. This book took me 2 months to read, and it wasn't because it was a hard read. It was because it was so emotionally devastating that I could not keep reading. I had to stop and take breaks.
Well, again, it's tough. There's a lot in there, and it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
And she is a gorgeous writer. I don't know what else. We don't know. I haven't heard from her recently as to what.
I don't know
else
what she's
working
on next, but maybe something a little lighter.
Yeah.
Just for her. I worry about her.
and she's I've had a pleasure of having dinner with her once. She's a lovely human being, and the book is incredible.
Yeah. Speaking of lighter, don't worry, you guys. I'm not going to make you cry with every book in my pile.
Okay.
I brought a delightful rom-com, Red, White, and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston. This is a fantastic romance novel about what happens when America's first son, so he's the son of the new female president.
Yep.
He's like 18. He falls in love with the Prince of Wales. and delight ensues. And I have not read this one yet, but one of my booksellers, Jennifer, can't stop talking about it. She's hand-selling it hand over fist. And I'm in the middle of another romance novel right now that I actually was listening to in the car ride up here, getting me in a really delightful mood for the radio. And oh my goodness, if we don't need romance novels right now. I mean, the world is garbage. We are tired. We are sad. And you know what will make you feel better? Read a romance novel, you guys.
Here's our forecast for today. The world is garbage. No, go ahead. I don't disagree with you.
I mean, if you need an antidote from the news and from whatever's going on in your life, there are so many great romantic comedies out there to read. They are funny. They are sexy. And they just make you feel good. And there's absolutely nothing guilty or no shame in picking up a romance novel. So please come get them. We have lots of them for sale.
Red, White, and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston and published by St. Martin's. That looks very fun.
Right?
All right.
Yeah. So then moving along to kids' books, I brought with me a beautiful picture book that is, I would say, probably for ages 6 to 8, and it's called Stonewall, A Building, An Uprising, A Revolution. It's written by Rob Sanders and illustrated by Jamie Kristoff. And this is a nonfiction story for kids that explains what Stonewall is and was and will be. And it's told through from the voice of the buildings. The buildings are telling you the story. So they start out as horse stables, and you watch them change over time. You watch them observe their neighborhood and what is happening and who is moving to the village. You know, the affluent move uptown and the downtown becomes a home for artists.
Right.
And they talk about the riots and what happened and who the members of the gay community are and how they were treated. It is so beautiful. The illustrations are absolutely stunning. And this is just a great way to explain Stonewall and the gay rights movement to kids in a really nice way.
It is Stonewall, A Building, An Uprising, A Revolution.
And then moving on to the next age group. So I would say this is for ages maybe 8 to 12. The Witch Boy by Molly Knox Ostertag. This is a graphic novel. And it's the story of a young boy who is magic. He lives, everyone in his family is born with magic. Boys grow up to be the shapeshifters and the girls turn into witches. And that's how it is. There's no exceptions. Boys are not allowed to learn witchery. Girls cannot shapeshift, and that's how it is. But our main character, Aster, he isn't quite taking to the shapeshifting. And he really wants to learn the witchery. He seems to be a natural at it, but he has to sort of sneak in and not let them see him that he's learning it. This is just a great look at gender norms and mm-hmm. what we expect from men and women and how we should challenge those things and talk about it. And why are certain things girl things and certain things boy things? That doesn't, you know, what if it doesn't fit you? You know, how do you deal with that? It's great. And it's just a really fun adventure magic story.
It looks like the art looks beautiful.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
The Witch Boy by Molly Knox Ostertag.
Yeah.
All right.
And there's also a second book in the series. So if your kid reads it and loves it, they have another one right away.
There's another one.
Yeah. And then one book for teens today, If I Was Your Girl by Meredith Russo. This one also came out a couple of years ago, won every award that year, the Stonewall Award. And it's absolutely splendid. It's about a young trans woman who is new at her high school. Everyone knows her as a girl. They've never known her as anything else. And she falls in love with a boy and deciding whether or not to tell him her secret and the results from that choice. This book is extraordinary. The author is herself trans, and anyone who wants a beautiful story about first love, This is a spectacular book.
It is called If I Was Your Girl by Meredith Russo. All right. We have about a minute.
Oh, okay. So I will tease that we have an exciting event that goes on sale tomorrow to the public.
Yes.
And Joe, you'll be there.
I will be there.
Joe will be in discussion, in conversation.
I have to work that night.
Thank you, Joe.
Yes.
With Salman Rushdie for his new novel, Quixote, which is a sort of a spin on Don Quixote, the Don Quixote story.
And it's fascinating. I'm about 50 pages into it.
Great.
It is beautiful. Man, he's, you know, this Rushdie guy probably has a good future ahead of him. He's a very, very talented writer.
The event is on September 10th, and it is at Bard College in their beautiful Sosnoff Theater. I'm sure that tickets will be live on our website tomorrow morning.
Yeah, they'll be up there, and that's very, very exciting.
We're
so
psyched.
It's September 10th, and the tickets go on sale tomorrow to the general public, and what an event.
It'll be great. And we have a couple other exciting things coming up we can't announce yet, but if you don't already get Oblong's emails, you can sign up at oblongbooks.com.
Excellent. It is always a pleasure to see you, but always to partner with you and do these cool things.
Oh, likewise.
Very, very fun. So we love our Oblong time.
Yay.
Oblong Books and Music is in Millerton and in Rhinebeck. You can visit them on their website. Even better to visit them at the store, but you can visit them on the website. It's oblongbooks.com. You can also see the entire list. Susanna has this entire beautiful list. I think it's up on your site.
Mm-hmm.
It's on our site, which is wamc.org/roundtable, and it sends you right to book picks and also has the link for Oblong there as well. Susanna, it's always a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe.
Have a beautiful rest of the summer. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.